Anybody remember the movie, I don't know, going back several years, Bruce Almighty, starring Jim Carrey, the crazy, goofy Jim Carrey? This movie was several years ago, and the writers of the script gave God a phone number in that movie. You may or may not remember, maybe you haven't seen it, that Carrey could call to talk with the Almighty. Now, oftentimes when there's phone numbers used in movies, the prefix is 555, but the makers and the producers of this movie gave the number a 776 prefix. And this is not really funny, I think it's sad, but people who saw the movie wrote that number down and actually started to dial it, started to call it. One lady in St. Petersburg, Florida, received 20 calls an hour from people who wanted to talk to God. Talk about a lost world, right? And people who have been deceived in not believing truth. As I said, that's more than sad than funny, that although we do have a direct line to God, it doesn't start with 776 or 555 or any other combination of those numbers, and it really doesn't involve a phone at all. In one small church, the minister called the children to come down front and was doing a children's message like some churches do. Every Sunday, and then he'd tell them a story. Once he brought a telephone to better illustrate his story. When you're doing the children's message, it's always good to have like word pictures and props and that sort of thing, right? And so he brought this phone for better illustration. And he said to the children, he said, "You talk to people on the phone even though you don't see them on the other end. You don't see them, but you talk to them. You trust that they are there," he began. And then the children nodded yes. You know, like, hey, yeah, we talk to grandpa and grandma on the phone. We don't see them, but we trust that they are there. And he says, well, talking to God is like talking on the telephone. He's on the other end, even though you don't see him. He is still listening. Well, then one of the little children says, well, what is his phone number? Now, it seems a little funnier and a little cuter coming from a child that doesn't really know any better than it does coming from an adult watching a movie. Our text this morning comes from Jeremiah 33, verses 1 through 3. The message this morning is calling on God. Now, what's interesting to me is the text that Amanda read in Jeremiah 29. Jeremiah is reminding the people about searching God, and when we do that, we will be found by God. And now we're only four chapters moved from that text, and here we are when we find Jeremiah just four chapters later in a considerably different mindset, in a considerably different place. And this is what it says in Jeremiah 33, 3. It says this, God declares, call to me, and I will answer you and tell you great and unsearchable things you do not know. Call to me and I will answer and help you do great and unsearchable things. How can we be sure if we're really connecting with God? How can we be sure? I mean, I find it interesting that here in Jeremiah 33, God is reassuring Jeremiah that if he calls upon him, God will tell Jeremiah great and unsearchable things. There are a few things that I think are worth looking at that what appears to be in this very simple verse. This very simple verse. Now, number one, I find it very intriguing that Jeremiah should need to be advised to call upon him. I mean, after all, what was Jeremiah? He was a prophet. And what do prophets do? They talk to God and they hear from God and they converse with God and God speaks to them and they speak to God. It seems to me like as a prophet, Jeremiah should not have needed to be reminded to call upon the Lord. Like, this is what prophets do. Like, why on earth would you have to remind somebody, like this is who you are called to be, this is what you are called to do, but yet he had to be reminded. Calling on God is something that Jeremiah should have been doing daily, many times a day perhaps. It would almost be like thinking that you have to remind your secretary to answer the phone when it rings. Like, you shouldn't have to remind her of that. That's like the basic of your job. Like, you shouldn't have to remind her to do that. I wouldn't think that Jeremiah would have to be reminded, like, hey, you can call upon the Lord. Like, no kidding, that's what you do. I would think it's the one thing that you wouldn't need to be reminded of as a prophet. So I asked the question this morning, did Jeremiah forget that he could call upon the Lord? Or in his circumstances, did he quit believing that calling upon the Lord could help or really make a difference? So in reading this text, it occurred to me that something must have happened in Jeremiah's life that had kind of zapped him of his energy or taken something out of his faith. But what could it be? What could happen to somebody like Jeremiah, a prophet, that he would forget or need to be reminded to call on the name of the Lord? Has something ever happened in your life that you forgot that you could call upon the name of the Lord? Or has something happened in your own life where you're like, I know I could call upon the name of the Lord, but the circumstances are so bleak that it doesn't even feel like it would matter or make a difference? I mean, if it could happen to a prophet, it could certainly happen to one of us. Backing up in verse 1 of Jeremiah 33, it says, while Jeremiah was still confined in the courtyard of the guard, the word of the Lord came to him a second time. So I intentionally started at verse 3. Now I want to back up to verse 1 to give a little context as to what exactly is happening. So in verse 1 it says, the Lord came to him a second time. So it's like, okay, he not only had to be reminded, but now he's being reminded again by the Lord. Like, the Lord is now saying, yo, did you not hear me the first time? I'm coming to you a second time. Well, where was Jeremiah? What does it mean to be in the courtyard of the guard? Well, Jeremiah was in jail. And he's been there for a while. So long so that God had to remind him a second time. God had to talk to Jeremiah a second time since he's been there. So let's look at just a little bit of context. God gave Jeremiah a message. And the message was to Jerusalem. Think it was a good message? No. It wasn't a great message. The message was this. Jeremiah, go to Jerusalem and tell the people this. Tell them that Babylon will come down from the north and to destroy the city unless you're willing to repent. It's not a great message to have to tell somebody. Anybody kind of feel like that's where we are in our nation right now? That our nation is being destroyed until we're willing to repent? Kind of feel like that America is right now. Our nation is being destroyed because we are unwilling to repent. And until we are willing to repent, I believe our nation will continue to be destroyed. This is what's happening here. Zedekiah, the king in Jerusalem, didn't like that message much. That's not a message any king or leader wants to really hear, for that matter. And frankly, he didn't want to repent. He didn't want to hear it. He didn't want to repent. And so what do? When you don't like the message? You torment the messenger. And that's exactly what Zedekiah did. Jeremiah brought a warning from the Lord to Jerusalem, and Zedekiah wanted no part of it. So he's tormenting the messenger. Now here is Jeremiah locked up for what? For doing what he was called to do. For delivering the message that God called him to do. And he finds himself locked up for it and being tormented for it. Just something doesn't feel quite right about that, does it? This doesn't seem like it's the thing that should be happening. When I obey God's will for my life, things are supposed to turn out okay. Isn't it? You would hope so. But you know what? Scripture paints a pretty different picture. In fact, Jesus told it, "Blessed are you when people insult you, when people persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil things against you because of him. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets," guys like Jeremiah, "who were before you." That's what it says in Matthew 5:11. Okay, I guess I can accept that. Doesn't really make it any easier, but I can accept it. It doesn't make it any easier when I suddenly discover that life isn't fair. I think Jeremiah was learning that lesson, like, wow, life isn't fair right now, and I really don't like it. It doesn't make it any easier when I find out that I can be a nice guy, and that I can be a nice Christian person, and that I can go to church every Sunday, and I can do good things for people, and then have nothing work out the way that it should. That doesn't seem fair, does it? Like, hey, I'm a pretty nice guy. I'm a Christian. I go to church. I do nice things for people. And still, things don't work out for me. And I feel like I'm persecuted. Just doesn't feel right. Consider Jeremiah's situation. He's obeyed God. He delivered the message that God had sent him to deliver. And yet, people mistreated him. They insulted him. They threw him into the prison. And I'm sure in that moment, he's not even sure what his future holds. In that situation, like, wow, I'm not really even sure what my future holds right now. I've been in such a dark place that, man, I can't even think about what my future holds right now. Heck, he's probably not even sure he's ever going to get out of prison. It's little wonder that maybe in that particular moment that his faith might have been at an all-time low. Like, when you obey and you do the will of God and you find yourself in prison for it, that might be something that would really test your faith, don't you think? Might begin to make you question a few things. It's also not surprising why he might have needed to hear from God now more than ever before. Sometimes in our darkest moments, it's in those moments that we really need to hear from the Lord. We really need a reminder from the Lord. But praise God, in his darkest moments, the Lord stepped in and reminded him, hey, you can call on me. You can call on me. It's in our darkest moment that we most need to hear a word from the Lord. Oftentimes it's a word of truth we already know. But we need to be reminded, of course, Jeremiah knew that he could call on the name of the Lord. And of course, he knew that God would hear him. But his circumstance was so severe that he needed a reminder. And maybe you need a reminder this morning, too, that you can call upon the name of the Lord and he hears. Second thing. It's in the midst of this dark moment in his life that Jeremiah is to call on the name of the Lord. Apparently, even the most religious people need to be reminded to do just that. When David was experiencing difficult times, he deliberately reminded himself to do that. I almost think of some of the Psalms almost like a journal. You know, like when you're going through stuff and you want to journal it. Sometimes we do that as an opportunity to remind ourselves, right? If I put it on in writing, I can go back and it'll be a good reminder to myself. So some of these Psalms are like David's journal entries, I think. In Psalm 4, 1 through 3, David wrote, "Answer me when I call you, O my righteous God. Give me relief from my distress. Be merciful to me and hear my prayer. How long, O men, will you turn my glory into shame? How long will you love delusions and seek false gods? Know that the Lord God has set apart the godly for himself. The Lord will hear when I call to him." See, David is writing that down. David knew it and he believed it. And I think he's writing it down because someday that's going to be a good reminder for him. I know that the Lord will hear me when I call him, but there's going to be a time when my circumstance is so difficult that I'm going to forget. So I'm going to put it in writing. In Psalm 86:3, he wrote these words, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, for I call to you all day long. Bring joy to your servant, for to you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. You are a forgiving and good, O Lord, abounding in love to all who call to you. Hear my prayer, O Lord. Listen to my cry for mercy." These are all words that David put in writing. "In the day of my trouble, I will call to you, for I know that you will answer me." Again, words from David. Sometimes we just need to be reminded that we can call upon the name of the Lord, that we can call on God. So consider this your reminder today to call upon the name of the Lord in your day of trouble. I think that's part of the reason why it's so important that we're part of the body of Christ, that we're active members in the local church body. Being together as the body are the times we're reminded to call upon the name of the Lord. We need to be together because when you're going through something difficult, then I can look at you and say, look, call upon the name of the Lord. Or when I'm going through a difficult time, you can come alongside me and say, hey, have you talked to the Lord lately? Have you called upon the name of the Lord? Jeremiah was told that if he called upon God, what would God do? He would do great and unsearchable things. And you know what else? It reminded me of what Paul wrote in Ephesians 3, verse 20. Paul said that God was able to do immeasurably more than what we can ask or imagine, according to his purpose that is at work in us, according to his power that is at work within us. It says in Jeremiah that God will answer and do unsearchable things, and then Paul tells us that God can do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine. The same God who promised to reveal great and unsearchable things to Jeremiah is ready and willing to do immeasurably more than we could ever ask or imagine if we will just call upon the name of the Lord. I don't know about you. That's what I want. I want God to do things that are unsearchable. I want God to do immeasurably more than I could even ask or imagine. I want to call upon the name of the God so that he can do immeasurably more. It's the third point that I want to make. So how do we do that? How do we call upon the name of the Lord? We oftentimes simplify. Calling upon the name of God is merely asking for help, praying for God to come down and shake us loose from tragedies and hardships. And you know what? It is really that simple. It is. We simplify it because it is really that simple. Let me just talk quickly about a couple of things that I think we can do to make our call to God more effective. Make our call to God more effective. Calling out to Him is really quite simple. But there's a couple of things that I believe that if we do, we'll make that call even more effective. And the first one is, when we call upon the Lord, focus on His faithfulness in the past. And I think that's part of what I was talking about, this journaling. David writes these words down so that he can remind himself of God's faithfulness in the past. Well, how am I going to do that, David? How am I going to do that? This is what it says in 1 Chronicles 16, verses 8 through 12. It says, make known among the nations what He has done. Sing to Him, sing praise to Him, tell of His wonderful acts. Glory in His holy name. Let the heart of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Look to the Lord in His strength. Seek His face always. Remember the wonders that He has done, His miracles and the judgments that He pronounced. Remember the wonders that He has done. Remember the wonders that He has done in your own life. Remember the wonders that He's done from cover to cover in this book. Remember the wonders that He's done in the lives of those around you. And remember the wonders that He's done in this church family. When you call upon the name of the Lord, remember His faithfulness in the past. You see, God does answer when we call upon Him. Sometimes He doesn't answer right away. Sometimes we have to wait for Him to step in. And when He does step in, it might be in a way that we weren't exactly hoping for or looking for. We might even miss what He's done because we've given up waiting for our answer. We had an answer in mind, so we gave up waiting because we didn't get the answer we were hoping for. During those moments of waiting, in those times, remind yourself of what God has done in the past. Remember the things that God has rescued you from in the past. Instead of thinking about the things that God doesn't seem to be doing in the future, in the present, be reminded of what He has done for you in the past. Sometimes I think we forget, we get so caught up on like what God is not doing for me right now that we forget about the many blessings and the ways that He's rescued us in the past. Remind yourself of all His astonishing acts. All the great things He's done in the lives of the heroes of the Bible. All the wonderful stories of what God has done for others around us. And yes, even remember how God has worked in your very own life in the past. And then think about those things. Think about those things. Talk about those stories. And even David advises, sing about those so that we can remember all the wonderful things that He has done, His miracles, and the judgments that He pronounced. What David is saying is, pay attention to God. God has been faithful in the past. That way, as you're waiting for Him to answer your present cry, you won't lose hope. If we don't remember what He's done for us in the past, it's really easy for us to lose hope in the present. But if we can remember what He has done for us in the past, we won't be overcome with despair in the present. And when God answers, you'll still be sitting there waiting to hear His voice, waiting to hear His answer. But I think there's a second thing that we can do too. Not only remember His faithfulness in the past, but also focus on God's promises for the future. That's what God was helping Jeremiah to do. First, God says, call to me and I will answer you and tell you great, unsearchable things that you don't already know. I will show you things that I am working on that you can't even imagine. I'm doing something far greater than you can even search or imagine. And if you call on me, I will show you those things. And then God proceeds to tell Jeremiah some of those great and unspeakable things. God tells Jeremiah exactly what he intends to do for Israel. God gives Jeremiah specific promises for the people. God tells Jeremiah later in verse 7, I'm bringing Judah and Israel back from their captivity. That's a promise that I'm making to you, Jeremiah. And I will cleanse them and forgive them of their sin. That's a promise that I'm making to you, Jeremiah. Jerusalem will have honor and renown. I'm making that promise to you, Jeremiah, it says in verse 9. There will be the sounds of joy in the bride and the bridegroom. I promise you that, Jeremiah, in verse 11. In that day I will raise up my righteous branch, it says in verse 14 and 15. You see, Jeremiah can not only draw on the things that God has done for him in the past, but God has given him some promises that I'm going to do in the future. And so instead of dwelling on your present circumstance, I want you to think about what I've done for you in the past and what I'm promising you that I'm going to do in the future. God gives Jeremiah promise after promise after promise. And God gives Jeremiah these promises in part to give him hope. I mean, isn't that what we all need? We all need hope, right? We all need hope that it's going to be okay. And we can have that hope if we remember the past blessings and the past faithfulness, but also focus on the future promises. Romans 8:28 says that in all things, God works for the good for those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. And in 2 Timothy 1:12 it says this, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I believe. I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I call upon. And I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him. And I'm here to submit to you the same, that God can do the same. You know whom you believe. You know whom you can call upon. And you know that he is able to keep that which you have committed unto him. It's in keeping our eyes on the promise of God has made and the faithfulness of what God has shown us in the past that really makes the difference in how strong we can be in the present, right? We can be strong in the present if we remember what he's done for us in the past and consider the promises of the future. Listen. Moses led Israel out of Egypt with only a staff in his hand. That's all he had. David killed a giant with nothing more than a sling and a rock. He had no business winning that fight. Moses had no business leading the people out of Israel. What about Gideon? And 300 men attacked and put to flight 135,000 Midianite soldiers with trumpets and torches. They had no business doing that. Why did they succeed? Why were they able to overcome the overwhelming odds and difficulties? You can't tell me that in that moment there wasn't some sort of fear, some sort of anxiety, some sort of like, I am way out of my league here. Sort of, there's no way that I'm going to win here. They all have one thing in common. They called upon God and they relied upon His promises and they reminded themselves about His past faithfulness. There's no other way they could have won any of those battles. Our God has been faithful in the past and has given us many promises for the future. That's what this book is. It is a book of promises for the future. And I can tell you, I can preach about this stuff, but I can tell you right now in my own life more than ever before, I need to be reminded of God's faithfulness in the past. Because otherwise, I'd have little hope for the future, quite frankly. If I didn't know what God has done for me and my family in the past, I would have very little hope for the future. But I have a ton of hope for the future because I know what God has done for me in the past and I know what His Word says that He's going to do for me in the future. And I'm calling upon a God that supplies all of my needs and in His time and in His way, but always in powerful, wondrous, unsearchable, immeasurable things. Let's pray. Lord, you are a good God. You are a powerful God. You are a righteous God. You are an almighty God, an all-knowing God, an ever-present God, the creator of all things. But Lord, sometimes life is hard. It just is. Sometimes the circumstances we are in are overwhelming. Sometimes the things we find ourselves in just aren't fair. But Lord, from cover to cover in your word, we see stories of where you have been faithful to those who served you. Lord, we look in our own lives and we look at the lives of the church and we are reminded of how faithful you have been in the past. And Lord, we look and see from cover to cover of the promises that you've made to your people and how you went on to fulfill them. And Lord, I pray that when we call upon the name of the Lord, that your past faithfulness and your future promises will give us the hope that we need in our present circumstance. We believe it, and we claim it, and we thank you for it. And we ask these things in your Son's name. Amen.
Amen. Please stand if you are able.